You saw a flashlight up there, and my title is, Am I a Serious Jesus Follower? So, is this on? So I had the fun this week of going and buying myself a new flashlight. And it was in a nice case, and I shook the case, and wow, that sounds really, it looks like, just like the one, even on the outside it said, it said it takes three batteries, three D-cell batteries. And do you think it's going to work right now? Why not, Emily? She's shaking her head. Why not? You have any idea? Guess what? What's not in it? Yes. I wasn't sure. Are the batteries included or not? They weren't. And so I knew that it needed batteries. So Brenda, bless her, she went back and got me batteries, okay? And so I thought, oh, okay, let's see how this works. So she got me three D batteries, and I started to check out if they worked or not. Now, if I tighten this, do you think it's going to work now? Some of you saw me. Did anybody see anything interesting I did? I'm not a trickster. I don't plan to do tricks on anybody, but did I do something? What did I see, Molly? Yes, what did I do? Tell us again. I had one of the batteries in backwards, so obviously it's not going to work. Well, also, they're brand new batteries, okay? And, of course, batteries have to be charged, and new batteries are charged. So you're going to have to trust me that these are charged, because we're not going to try it right now. But Molly was right. I accidentally had one in backwards, so that didn't work either. So today, my title is, Am I a Serious Jesus Follower? And, hey, it works. I want you to think that a Jesus follower is kind of like a flashlight. And every person that is created has the potential to be a Jesus follower. I'm going to set this up here. We're going to get the batteries a little later. But you notice, you can't shine without batteries. Number two, you can't shine unless they're correctly in place. And thirdly, you can't shine without them being charged. And I like to think about the chargers that they have. You can get these rechargeable ones. And of course, a Jesus follower, by the end of this message, you'll understand that we need to do some things to keep our batteries charged. Well, before we talk about that, being a Jesus follower, I'd like you to think about what it was like when Jesus was around, okay? We remember the story when he was 12, he went into the temple, and they were amazed at his wisdom, like he was being taught already. But at the time when Jesus was here, there were rabbis who were the instructors of young men who wanted to become rabbis in the church, who wanted to become like serious people that we would think today they'd be Jesus followers, okay? Well, the one thing that would happen was a boy would then be asked by a learned man to follow him and would go with him and learn everything about the law, memorize the law, and they were the teachers. They were the rabbis were the storytellers, and they would attract followers. Okay? And of course, we know that when Jesus turned 30, he started to ask people to follow him too. The major difference was the rabbis that were having followers, if you had a student who learned everything you knew, there would be another rabbi who was more learned than you that would invite that follower to come follow him. And so it was like, you know, the gifted ones, you might say, that was the prize you wanted to attain to be a certain follower of this rabbi. And we know when Saul, who was a Pharisee, he studied at the feet of, who was it? Remember anybody? Gamaliel, okay? And he was like the top rabbi of the day, okay? But the interesting thing about Jesus is that Rob said this thing doesn't work very well, so I had to push it two or three times. You know, okay, here we are. Jesus followers. Jesus was a teacher. He's like a rabbi. He told stories. But the interesting thing about him is that he chose common people. Instead of, you know, he went along and he said, here's a fisherman. Hey, would you come follow me? Now, they knew about Jesus because he was already 30. So when these, I can imagine what the people of that community would think. He's just picking those kind of people. Look how learned he is. He could pick people like, you know, and like who? Well, like Saul, okay? But he never picked Saul, okay? And I find it really interesting how God later did choose Saul, and we know that story, and I'm not going to repeat that today. But he chose the 12 who were just common people. Keep that in mind. Any of us, no matter how inadequate we may think we are, we can become Jesus followers. Well, here's my definition of a Jesus follower. It's someone who has decided to be with another person in order to become capable of doing what that person does or to become what that person is. That is my kind of definition of a Jesus follower. Now, we want to look at two kind of Jesus followers, the not so serious and the serious. Now, I could interchange the word Jesus follower with Christian or disciple, but I wanted you to think about it in this context today, that we want to become serious Jesus followers. Well, here is a not so serious Jesus follower. This is a person, well, we believe Jesus is born of a virgin. He's God incarnate. He's the second person of the Trinity and the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. You're going to find that similar in both the not so serious and the serious. But the second part, this person just kind of happy to be saved and assured of his place in heaven, not really feeling a call to be serious about his life. Now, a serious Jesus follower, the first part's still the same, but the second part, this person is someone who has decided to cling to Jesus and allow the Spirit of God to change them into someone looking like Jesus. Now, I don't hear that a lot, but that's something I want to attain to be. I want to look like Jesus, okay? Paul, in the New Testament, he says at one place, follow me like I follow Christ. Be imitators of Christ. We want to be reflecting Jesus in everything that we do, in everything that we say. And that's my goal. And this message is kind of for me, too, because it reminds me of the important things about being a serious Jesus follower. Well, to be a Jesus follower, we want to look at what Jesus seriously taught about. And to summarize Jesus' teaching, there was a Pharisee that had asked him a question about what was the greatest commandment. And this was his answer. It's found in Matthew 22. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. A summary of what Jesus taught would be in these two commandments, to love God and to also love your neighbor. So when people look at us as Jesus followers, do they see someone who loves God and loves others? Well, did Jesus give instructions to his Jesus followers? Yes, he gave some instructions. He gave them at the end of his life in Matthew 28. He gave what some people refer to as the Great Commission. And then Jesus came and said to them, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is what he commanded us to do, to go and make disciples. Well, is he going to give us power? These batteries, is that going to be there for us? Come, come. Boy. There we go. Did Jesus promise to charge our batteries? Yes, he did. And it's interesting, and I'm not going to get in a big discussion about this, but Jesus in Acts 1:8, this is just before he went up into heaven, he says, but you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And we know that Jesus' followers at that time, his 12 disciples, and the group of followers that were with him. There were much more. There were women and men. They went back and they waited until the Holy Spirit came. And you might say, is that when they received the batteries? Did they just receive it after? Did they not have the Holy Spirit before? Well, I tend to not think so, because back in John 20, verse 22, when Jesus was appearing to his disciples after he was rose from the dead, one time he appeared unto them, and in John 20, verse 21 and 22, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So I believe when you become a Christian, the batteries are included, okay? You receive the Holy Spirit at that time. Jesus, back in John 20 there, was breathing on them the Holy Spirit. I believe they had the Holy Spirit then. In Acts, I believe they received power at Pentecost. It was kind of like the recharging of their battery. I like to think that every day I need to have my batteries recharged. I need to do that. Well, what should a church do? What does a church look like that have a bunch of serious Jesus followers in it? Well, this is from the book of Acts, and this is from the Message. This is what the church looked like in the book of Acts. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned, pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw, and every day their numbers grew as God added to those who were saved. I would like to think that LCF has a goal to become that kind of church, and I see signs of it already. I see signs of it in meals that were brought to people maybe that were in the hospital. Visits. When Brenda was in the hospital, people came to visit that aren't relatives of us. They're just part of the family of God. I see it at potlucks when we have them. All the fellowship going on. When there's a need, there's the benevolence team that's helping us to be judicious and loving about those needs. When there's greater needs, we meet them. And you as a Jesus follower probably see people in your life that you meet needs that aren't a part of the specific LCF, but you're meeting needs. You're doing that. And that's what I want you to encourage, because this is the kind of church I think was an Acts, and I think it's one that we want to attain to be a part of. Well, I still have these three batteries here, and I'm wondering what we need to do with them to become a more serious Jesus follower. Well, there's three things I think we can do with these batteries. One, and this I'm looking at a person who, looking at you and I, as we want to be this person who has our light shining brightly, there's three things that help us to keep our light shining brightly. First of all, we want to learn how to handle difficulties, and I pick four of them in our lives. Secondly, we want to know how to apply disciplines in our life. And thirdly, we want to be able to testify that, hey, Jesus is coming back and I can't wait. I cannot wait. I used to say, I love to visit the prison, you all know. Okay, I used to say at the prison that the prison is my second home. But I've changed that since I went homeless in August. I now say that the prison is my third home, okay? My first home is heaven, and I can't wait to go there. My second home is my address here in London. And of course, my third home, the guys at the prison know that I love being there. Well, let's go back to look at the first battery, the difficulties. The first battery are four difficulties that Jesus followers need to overcome. They are doubt, temptation, mixed up priorities, and confusion about God's will. And I want to talk about each one. And you know what? Interesting thing about them, and I'll tell you ahead of time, what I'm sharing with you today is part of the discipleship program we have here at LCF. Everything that's in the message from here on out is going to be one of the lessons in the discipleship that we make available to people here at LCF. I'm the point person, as I mentioned that. A few of you have went through the discipleship book already. And after today, some of you might say, hey, I want to do that. And that's part of one of the reasons I have the message today. But first of all, with every chapter of that book, with every difficulty, with every discipline, there's a memory verse, okay? And there's a verse to go with it that help. And now you might say, ooh, I don't memorize well. You're right, I don't, okay? So, you know, just a couple weeks ago, Doris told me that she has an app on her phone that helps her to memorize. And she shared it with me, and I said, wow, I had to get rid of Candy Crunch to start focusing more on. I'm more embarrassed about how many levels I made in Candy Crunch, but boy, I have a whole lot more time now to play this, my app. And, you know, I can go to bed and play the verses that I want to learn. And, you know, after a while, they become so much of a part of me. So with each of the difficulties and each of the disciplines, I'm going to share the verse. The verse that goes with doubt is that we live by faith and not by sight. Now, you might say, well, Marcus, you've been a Christian for almost 50 years. It is, okay? And you don't have doubts, okay? I still have doubts. They might not be the same doubts I had at the beginning. I'll give you an example. I used to work in the public schools. Most of you know that. And I had a goal 5 years ago that I was going to finish at London Middle School and have 35 years in when I stop. Well, that would be this coming June. Didn't work out that way, okay? But where my doubt came in is just in these last year or two, I've had doubts like, wow, if you would have been a better Jesus follower, you would have told some of the students, some of you are here today, you would have told them more bluntly what was going on and who you represented. And when I was having one of these doubts when Brenda was in the hospital, I walked into Kroger's one night, and I'm going through the line, and there's three young ladies checking me out, and all three of them were in middle school just 3 years ago when I was still there. And the one at the cash register, I won't give any names, but some of you might figure out by the way I describe her who it was, but she looks at me, and she goes, oh, Mr. Freed, you are always so happy. I go, I didn't know quite what to say, but I thought, okay. And yeah, and then I went on, I said, well, maybe you can figure out the reason why. And she just kind of pondered, and the other two girls didn't comment too much. And finally she goes, yeah, I know, it's because of Jesus. And I had never said a thing. That little incident at Kroger's just a few weeks ago kind of reassured me to not doubt that what I did then was important. Yes, I didn't do everything perfectly, but, you know, I live by faith. I don't live by sight. The second difficulty you could overcome is temptation. Now, we all have a weak area in our life, okay? I have one. I have a couple of them. And in the discipleship program, you can learn verses to help you to deal with those weak areas. Now, some of you aren't very blunt with me, but some of my inmate friends are very blunt with me, okay? One of my weaknesses, I grew up on a farm where we had 12 brothers and sisters, and when you came to the table to eat, and I was number 11, you ate fast. Number one, you were a farmer, and number two, you weren't sure there was more there later, okay? You wanted to make sure if there were seconds, you were done to get any if there were. So I'm a very fast eater, which doesn't help me to keep my weight in gear, okay? I tend to eat for some of the wrong reasons, which is one of my weak areas. One of the guys at the prison recently just came up to me and said, you've been chunking out a little bit lately, haven't you? None of you have said that to me lately, okay? But it was like, oh, okay, yeah. People do notice, okay? Well, I have all kinds of reasons. You know, Brenda was in the hospital for 3 weeks. I couldn't exercise as much. Wendy's was there, And I was eating there almost every day, you know? That could have been my excuse, but no. I want to get back into routine, and there are some verses that will help me. Well, you notice the temptation to overcome that. The verse is, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, if you focus on something and give it attention, it grows, okay? Well, I want to focus on things that give me freedom. And freedom, as I say there, is the ability to do what you ought, not the right to do what you want. Beating temptation gives us freedom. Well, I could go on, but I want to keep going to the other difficulties. Mixed up priorities. The verse that goes with mixed up priorities is, seek ye first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God created each of us for his purpose, and all our choices must focus on seeking his kingdom first. That's tough sometimes. God first, family second, others third. Those are my three priorities. Now, if you want to think about priorities, when I was teaching a lesson in middle school about priorities, I'd have the guys and girls close their eyes and I'd say, okay, what do you think about the first thing you wake up in the morning or the last thing you go to bed? And one kid goes, money. Okay, it helped to identify what a priority is. What do you think about a lot? That's probably a pretty serious priority in your life. Well, we want kingdom priorities. We want to seek his kingdom first, and then the other things will be added. The third difficulty was that. The fourth difficulty is confusion about God's will. The verse that goes with this is, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Remember that God has a plan for your life, and by following his plan, you find joy. I mentioned already 3 years ago, when I did retire from London Middle School, it wasn't what I wanted to do first. I wanted to keep there it was for financial reasons. The benefits would have been better if I'd stayed 35 years. But at that time, it just seemed with the school situation, the finances, it was time to stop. And it's amazing how God opened the doors in the year and a half since. The job with the prison opened up. I'm a contractor half-time with an organization called Horizon. We have a faith-based dorm, which is different than Kairos, which is different than London Christian Fellowship Prison Ministry. There's those three that I'm involved with in the prison, and I kind of have to keep the different hats on at different times. But our knowing God's will, we are going to be, the more we're in touch with Jesus, the more we're a serious Jesus follower, the more we focus on him, we're going to know, as the Spirit makes it clear to us, what we're supposed to do. And sometimes we won't know audibly, we won't hear exactly, but we'll sense moving in a direction, and that'll be the direction that we go, and we pray, God, close the doors if this isn't right. And he usually does. So those are the four difficulties. So if you handle those, that would be the first battery. Well, let's look at the second battery. The second battery are disciplines. These are disciplines that serious Jesus followers need to develop, and they are four: Bible study, prayer, fellowship, and evangelism. Again, let's look at a verse. For Bible study, it's take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You understand that as you dig into the Word of God and you use it to help you in your life, you focus on it, you memorize it, it becomes a part of you, and it helps you to overcome those difficulties you have from day to day. Those four we talked about. The second discipline is prayer. Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. We learn to pray specifically, and specific prayer brings about answers. Now, I'll give you another example. Just a few weeks ago, someone came to me and said, you know, I've been praying for Brenda, okay, all these years since 2007, that she become the Brenda that she used to be, okay? Well, that's a specific prayer. okay? But I reassured the person that I was praying that way for maybe the first 6 months or a year, but then I realized that God had a different plan for Brenda. Those of you who are new to LCF, in 2007, she had a brain injury that totally changed her personality, okay? You know Brenda as she is now. The Brenda before was just as wonderful and just as loving, but she was different, okay? There were a lot of differences about it. God used that Brenda, and he's also using this Brenda. But praying specifically, it's okay to pray those things that might not be exactly what God wants. But then you recognize that when you spend time with God and by his Spirit, he reveals that, you know, this Brenda can do things that that other Brenda could never do. This one is an outgoing person. She can talk to anybody in town, and they don't give her a hard time at all because they know what she's gone through. She can talk to them about God, and nobody gives a second thought or a criticism. And I know that God has allowed that to happen. The question I have is, which Brenda's going to be in heaven? Think about that. Do you ever think about that? There's some way they're both going to be there, I'm sure. Thirdly, the third discipline is fellowship. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What's the day approaching? Oh, Jesus coming back. Yes, yes. And we're not, fellowship is what we do after meals when we have potlucks. Fellowship is what we do at small group. Fellowship is what happens from 9:30 to 10 around the coffee. Fellowship is what happens afterwards. So when a lot of you were just new within the last year or two, and you felt the fellowship because people went out of their way to say hello to you. And that's what part of a disciple wants to do. The last one is evangelism. Oh my, that's a big word. Oh, I'm not good at that. Well, Paul said, I plant the seed, Apollos waters it, but God makes it grow. Each had their part. Studies have been done that said a person who is the furthest from God on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being they accept Christ, it takes, I forget how many times they have to be introduced to Jesus, but it's a lot. I think it's like 10 or 12 times they have to be introduced to Jesus. You may be number 1 or number 2 or number 3. We don't know, but we continue to plant the seed and let others water. Maybe we're watering, but God's going to make it grow. And as we, as disciples, as we are encouraged to disciple others, we also realize that not all the seed is going to grow in the same way. And some of it might not grow. I've learned that in the discipling that I've been a part of already. Sometimes somebody doesn't pan out and finish. Do I not accept doing that with a person just because it may make me look bad because I didn't finish with that person? No, I want to step out and disciple anyone who's willing. So these were the four disciplines. The third battery is knowing that Christ will return soon. And in Revelations, in the last chapter of the Bible, it says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And I read that over and over again. I read the chapter over and over again. I'm trying to figure out who's saying, yes, I'm coming soon. Is it an angel? Is it Jesus? And I finally came to the point that I think it's both, okay? Because Jesus said over and over, I'm coming soon. And we're supposed to testify to that. And you know, come, Lord Jesus, this should be in our hearts. I can only think of times when I was in college when I would have a big test or a big paper coming up and selfishly I'd say, oh God, could you please come back so I don't have to finish that? Now, none of you students have ever done that, I'm sure, but that was the wrong attitude, okay? Well, we should live in expectation that Jesus is coming back and he's coming soon. And every day that we go through is one day closer to his return. Well, we've covered all three batteries now, okay? And of course, when we put this together, hopefully, It's a challenge to screw this thing in. I was having trouble the other day, but hopefully we can be. Did I do it wrong? Yeah. There we go. Woo! Hopefully we can be shining our lights. Now, you may ask yourself the question, how do I take the steps to become a, how do I take these steps? Well, I'm not asking you to do this, but there is offered at LCF a course that takes 3 months, has 10 chapters, covers the four difficulties, the four disciplines. Chapter 9 is about the return of Christ, and chapter 10 is a review. That anyone that you come in contact with that might want to shine their batteries and learn how to be a more serious follower of Jesus can go through. And there are some in this in our church who already went through it, and they're ready to walk through it one-on-one with other people. And we do not require that it's members. We just require that it's a person that's interesting in growing in Christ. Now, there's a number of you here today that have already done this. And can I ask those of you that have went through this to either stand or show your hands? There's Bob, Betty Jo, David, Brenda, Kelly, Molly, Brenda, Danae, Andrew, okay? Now, what's Marcus's role? What's my role? My role is only to help you, number one, if you find somebody, I provide the book. Now, I don't pay for it. The church has decided as a leadership team that we are going to supply the book to anyone that wants to be discipled, okay? Now, you may have just saw a hand that went up, okay, that you want to, you may want them for your discipler. You could even go talk to them, okay? But please let me know, okay, and I'll help you get to, with someone. I've, in the past 2 years, I've been blessed to do 5 people. Now, when you're done this book, the only thing you're committed to do is not keep meeting with that person, but praying that the Holy Spirit will bring someone to your life that you can do it with. Now, you may ask, when did you go through it, Marcus? Well, I went through it just 4 years ago, okay? It was 3 or 4 years. I lose track of when it was. But we used the same lessons with a prison modified version, the same 10 lessons, and one of the inmates in LOCI had done about 30 different men. And he's out now, and he's visited here at our church a couple times. He took me through it. He taught me so much about it. I'll give you a few examples of what he taught me. He said, Marcus, you don't want to do it so perfect with your person you're discipling that they think they could never do it that well. He said, I've done it so well with somebody that they thought, oh my, I could never do that with somebody. You just want to read through it, have them do the lessons ahead of time, that's what needs to be done ahead of time, and then get together and go over it, answer the questions, and really become a mentor to them. And you know, when I do it with someone, it makes me look at, am I reading my Bible? Am I memorizing scripture? I'm asking them to memorize something. Am I doing that? Oh, it might be a good idea if you start journaling. I hate journaling, personally. Now, it's a blessing. Brenda journaled all through her life. So when she was sick, she went back, and for a year or two, we read all her journals together. And it was like reading a novel about a lady she never knew, okay? But she'd ask me, hey, what happened there? And I explained. It was amazing. But when you do journaling, you can look back and you can see the fingerprints of God, because it's like, wow. And part of journaling also is praying for people and writing those requests down. And you can look back and say, oh yeah, God answered those prayers. I remember a few months ago in small group, our group was saying something about prayer requests and whether they were answered. And I just happened to have a bunch of my old prayer requests, and I started reading ones we had done months ago, and people were going, oh yeah, they were answered, weren't they? We kind of forget because we're in the moment and we're not looking back at what was happening a while back. But when you review those things and do those things, they become part of keeping your light shining and part of helping you to be a serious Jesus follower. Now, I'm not going to ask anyone today, you know, do you want to do the discipleship program? As you pray, God will put it on your heart, or God will bring somebody to you. And maybe you haven't done it yet, but you could do it with someone. I'll help you, okay? And it may be something that one or two people might consider doing over the next weeks or months. Or someone may come across your path who's a new Christian, and you know where you can get help for them to be discipled. So the three things to do to take these first steps is, one, to pray. That's the most important thing. And trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. And finally, you know what's available, I just told you. Let's pray now. Father, thank you so much for the encouragement you gave me by sharing this and giving me what to say today. And Father, I pray that as we as a body of London Christian Fellowship grow, and as your Holy Spirit makes us and breaks us into your likeness, that we look more like Jesus every day, that you will prompt us to share this with others and be able to be a part of that great commandment you gave, that we are to go and make disciples. Help us. Help us with our weak areas. Help us in our difficulties. And we will continue to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.